And now, the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories and sing some songs and talk to some good people with great voices. Fiddles, Flo, and friends on the show today. That best sums it up, but let me elaborate. Shelby Earle has turned heads among her Pacific Northwest peers. Benjamin Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie labeled her voice the most heartbreakingly beautiful, and I'm sure you will agree. Two fiddle players with two different approaches to the instrument. Josie Tompkins goes for folk, and Ellie McPhee uses the violin as a sort of landscape of emotion. Both styles are totally pleasing to the ear. Plus, York, England is being represented on the show today. The town's new promising talent, Ned Swarbrick, is influenced by Nick Drake, and at 16 years old, he's off to a fantastic start. It's great to have you here today. You're going to love our Great American Folk Show, I guarantee. Owen Glacken is our first guest. His music pulses with tradition and that thing that we call over here in the United States, Americana. His writing reminds me of Bob Dylan's album, Oh Mercy, one of my favorites. In particular, the song, Everything is Broken. And the other one that kind of comes to mind is We All Live in a Political World. All to say, Owen's tunes have a message. And while the listener will feel that pulse, they will also be hit by it. Owen is also a journalist, which might explain why his attention to wordsmithing is so fine. But then if one has the desire to say something, I mean really say something, then one just needs to be confident and open to let it flow. And those are my descriptors. Pulse, hard-hitting, and flow. It's Owen Glacken on the Great American Folk Show.
My name's Owen Glacken. I'm a singer-songwriter from Dublin. That's the one in Ireland, by the way, not Ohio, just in case there's any confusion. I've been working on an album for a couple of years now. I had threatened to release it last year, actually, but I ended up going back to work on it again. So it's still my upcoming album. It's still called The Cost of Living, as it has been for a while now. But it will be out this year. At least I certainly hope it will at this stage. I may have gone half mad with it at this stage, to be honest. But look, it'll get there. When I'm not writing decidedly average music, I have been working over the last couple of years as a journalist and doing a bit of broadcasting work. I've kind of fallen in love with news in a way I hadn't thought I would, in all its horrible, horrendous glory. It's not quite as fun as getting out and playing gigs, I have to admit, but there's definitely something about it that, similar to gigs and music, it keeps pulling me back in. Where am I going with this ramble? I'm never really sure. But I guess what I'm getting to is this live song that I've recorded. It's called No Sense, and I think it's going to be on the album. And it's a way I can convey the utter confusion I feel most of the time. Journalism, speaking of journalism, it's not really the best place to convey confusion. Some might disagree there, I suppose. But I love being able to write clearly and hopefully informatively when it comes to journalism. But in the songs, I still get to throw my hands up and say, I have absolutely no clue what's going on around me most of the time. So this song is one in, I guess, a long line of songs actually I've written about being confused, I have to say. And come here, I mean every word too. I don't think I'm alone really these days. I'm certainly not the only one who's down with a bad case of the confusions. We all know it's getting harder and harder to tell what's real. It's getting harder and harder to understand the motivations of people in power around the world, really, isn't it? Who seem to use confusion as a tactic. They probably always have, I suppose. These people who try and convince us that things like starving children and bombing hospitals are viable mechanisms for attaining peace in the world. Anyway, I hope you're keeping yourself out of trouble out there. I hope you're not quite as confused as I am. And I hope you take care of yourself. My name's Owen Glacken. All the best.
There's no sense in this harvest. No sense reaping flames. No sense in your protest. No sense rattling chains. As dog whistle preachers roam the vacant store. There's no sense waking up. There's no sense anymore. There's no sense blaming Wall Street. No sense in this market. No sense asking whose feet poke from that rolled up carpet. Peace is a billboard to sell another war. There's no sense cashing out. There's no sense anymore. There's no sense in your love song. No sense telling truth. Just because you did the wrong, there's no sense leaving proof. And that chain you fell from the pomegranate core. There's no sense in spilt milk. There's no sense anymore. La 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 la, there's no sense anymore. La 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 la, sure, who's keeping score? La 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 la, just get on board. There's no sense in the new plague. No sense in the cure. No sense coming from the hate. No sense from the fewer. As word salad gurus hide behind each door. There's no sense getting dressed. There's no sense anymore. There's no sense in your burnt book. No sense on that screen. No sense in that stranger's look or worrying what it means. Scream your best threat straight from the top floor. There's no sense left out there. There's no sense anymore. La 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 la, there's no sense anymore. La 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 la, sure, who's keeping score? La 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 la, just get on board.
You just heard a live session with Owen Glacken, and you can find out more about his music by visiting his website. That's E-O-I-N, Owen, and his last name is Glacken, G-L-A-C-K-I-N, and then just put a .com right after that, and you're going to be cooking with gas. He's from Ireland, but I bet you $10 pretty soon he's going to make his way over to the United States, so keep an eye out on his gigs page. We turn now to a fiddle player named Josie Tompkins. We cross paths in Medora, North Dakota, where I spend my summers, where she's part of the Medora Musical, now in its 60th year. She plays in the Coal Diggers, one of the tightest bands that I ever have seen. And night after night, they wow and they dazzle and really get the audience moving. It's a lot of fun to see the Coal Diggers play on the big stage there in Medora, North Dakota. I love spotlighting traditional instruments like the fiddle on the Great American Folk Show and the story behind its players. The session you're about to hear took place at the Harold Schaefer Heritage Center. Josie, thank you so much for being on the Great American Folk Show.
Hey, of course.
Well, it's really been nice to meet you these past couple of weeks,
yes,
being in Medora. I know that you play in the Coal Diggers. You're a part of the Medora Musical, which is celebrating its 60th year on the stage. But this is your first time in North Dakota, I think. First time in Medora, too. Can you tell us about how you got from your neck of the woods to this neck of the woods?
Yeah, so I wasn't really looking for anything like this. It came out of the blue. My teacher, Dr. Martin Norgaard, he's my like swing fiddle teacher, actually. He knows Christian Howes, great fiddle player and teacher. And so I met Christian Howes through my teacher, Dr. Norgaard. And Christian Howes reached out to me and was like, hey, they're looking for a fiddle player in Medora. And I was like, what is that? And so I looked it up and I was like, little country town, seems really cute.
Since I've been here, we've been here about the same time. Well, you've been here a little longer than me, I think. I've heard such great things about the Coal Diggers. The Coal Diggers, that's the band in the musical. And everybody has opinions on how great the guitar player is and the bassist and the drummer. I've heard so many great compliments about this mysterious fiddle player from Georgia, and that is you, Josie Tompkins. But can you tell us about your background in music?
So I grew up, my dad, he majored in music theory and got his degree in that, and that was huge in my life. He taught me so much. My mom also played piano, and she teaches piano, and she's an amazing pianist. So both my parents, musicians, and I learned so much from them. And I grew up listening to tons of bluegrass. You know, we'd have the Rookie's Gag station on all the time. So I always knew, I was like, I want to play fiddle. And I ended up taking classical violin lessons for a while, which was amazing. But the big thing for me was that I didn't get serious about practicing till a couple years ago, actually. I was not super motivated as a kid to practice. And then I ended up going to music camp, and I was just there. I was like, man, I really learned how serious I had to be about it if I wanted to actually pursue it, which I did. I just didn't understand sort of the work ethic I needed to have, which, you know, it still comes with fun. It's not all work. And I think I've been learning that too, is to enjoy the process. And so, yeah, a couple years ago, I decided, like, this is serious. I need to, like, actually take a hold of my own priorities and work hard.
You mentioned violin, taking violin mm-hmm. lessons, and then the fiddle. There's probably some people listening right now who might not know the difference between the two. What yeah. is the difference between the
yeah.
two?
Yeah, so the instrument is the same, right? So, which is a surprise to some people. But yeah, same instrument. It's really just the style. The classical training is really good for the technique. Yeah, so that's why I keep doing it. I'm also very new at all this stuff, and it's only been the past couple of years. So I don't want to, you know, sound like this big intellect on all this stuff. But
well,
yeah.
but hopefully, though, you'll always have that mentality that it is always still new and that you're still learning. Because,
yeah.
you know, even people that we consider masters at the trade, mm-hmm. like Sarah Watkins or Chris Thiele, who plays an amazing mandolin,
yeah.
they would also be saying the same thing as you say, I'm still learning at this mm-hmm. thing. It's a mysterious machine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such fun music. And,
yeah.
you know, just talking about the violin and the training and the classical and
yeah.
how it does play a part into the fiddle. I mean, you might say that too about bluegrass and jazz,
mm-hmm.
about some of those complex chords. I mean, you see those complex chords outside of folk music into like subgenres like swing, these complex chords, like where are they
yeah.
coming up with these chords? And they're all kind of like learned jazz chords. There's a lot of mix. There's a lot of meld,
mm-hmm.
you know, with some of those more serious disciplines and these folk disciplines that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
where you even see some of these fiddle players, they're not playing the fiddle up, you know, in between their chin and their collarbone, but down
yeah.
at their side almost. And even the way that they're holding the bow
mm-hmm.
differs from the classical approach.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to learn from so many genres. I think that's one thing I love about music so much, is that like for me, like I have a hard time choosing. Like I want to be a part of all these genres. There's so many things to learn. And when you diversify your education, I guess, I feel like overall it can make you such a good player.
We're visiting with Josie Tompkins, one of the stars of the Medora musical this summer. Josie, thank you so much for being on the Great American Folk Show. What a pleasure it is to get to know you and have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very blessed to be on this show, and I've appreciated your time so much, Tom.
You just heard Blackberry Blossom performed by Josie Tompkins of the Medora Musicals Coal Diggers Band. Come to Medora's Burning Hills Amphitheater and see her on that big stage this summer. There's plenty of time left. But we happen to have another talented fiddler on the show right now. And while folk and bluegrass is definitely part of her quiver, and classical music too, she engages the instrument in a little different way. Let me give you a quote here from her bio. Violin mastery is a landscape for emotional expression. Now, doesn't that just sound interesting? You're going to hear what that means in just a moment. Some of the other parts of her bio include grad work at Bard College and Oberlin Conservatory. She also teaches music, and she started a class, a music class for incarcerated men. Ellie McPhee is her name, and she is in Brooklyn, New York. She joins us there. She's also deft at songwriting. She joins us now with a tune entitled 10 Good Lines.
I climbed up every tree across the neighborhood that I grew in. I buried a friend, carved a heart with a plus cell inside. I wrote letters to myself, 45, hope you're doing well. I watched my father cry for the second time in my whole life. And it's all just to write 10 good lines, or maybe 5 before I die. I'm telling you, I've just begun. I'm tired of falling in love with people who work with their hands. I'm sure I'll do it all again. Put lemon juice right in my cut, drink wine out of China teacups. And it's all just to write 10 good lines, or maybe 5 before I die. I've seen the sky with northern lights. I've finished school, I've said goodbye to lovers I can't live without. My favorite song I've screamed, I've shouted. I've seen a baby take first steps. I've seen a baby take first steps. And it's all just to write 10 good lines, or maybe 5 before I die. I've lost most of my, probably for my own sanity, but I know I've seen the big, big things, roadside attractions, wedding rings, the valleys, lows of birds of prey, the sleeping in. I've lost some days, and it's all just to write 10 good lines, or maybe 5 before I die. I've had county fair, apple pie, I've won the prize a couple times. It's all just to write 10 good lines.
Hello, I'm Ellie McPhee, and I'm so excited to be sharing some songs with you on The Great American Folk Show. I wanted to start off by giving y'all a little insight on my musical background and how I got to making the songs on the record that I released this year. I started playing fiddle when I was 8 years old, after a lot of begging. My mom, she was finally like, okay, she's old enough, we've got this. And according to her, on that first day of owning an instrument, I strut my way down our driveway and opened my case and just held my violin out to show my neighbors passing by in cars that I just had owned one. Couldn't play it yet, but that I just owned one. And shortly after that, I started going to this old time jam that was at a converted grocery, I guess it converted into the jam at night, but a grocery store. And I started taking classical lessons. When I started having an interest in classical music, my grandfather was so excited because he was a real enthusiast. And he used to take me to the symphony, and it was kind of our day, our thing. And I would get really embarrassed because he would bring those, you know, bird watching binoculars. But we would sit together and just kind of like zoom in on the performers. And I remember just being so in awe and being so young and really knowing like I want to have a whole life in music. And so far, so good. I ended up going to Oberlin Conservatory and studying classical violin very intensely. If I skip ahead a few years, I end up in Boston and I finish my master's and I'm broke and I find this living situation that's $500 a month living with 12 folk musicians. And I start playing tunes again and sort of coming back to myself and still have this this post-grad question of like, what do I want to make? What kind of musician do I want to be? And in some effort to just take the pressure off, I pick up the guitar and decide to be a beginner at something. You know, there's no hurt in that. And the songwriting came shortly after. And now I am happy to say that my record titled All I Want is a Trampoline is out in the world. It's inspired by the kids that I teach and the joys of being new at something and effortless love and horrible pit in your stomach grief. all the easy stuff. And it was recorded in the attic of my friend Danny Mendelssohn's parents' house while his mom was downstairs renovating his childhood bedroom, which felt kind of hilariously fitting for just how this album is rooted in memory and transition. And the last thing I'll say is that the final song on the album, called One Last Waltz, has a melody in the fiddle that I wrote to feel familiar and timeless, like coming home to something you've missed for a really long time. And I'm going to share that with you today. Thank you so much for listening.
One more waltz for the books I ain't reading, for the complaining season. It's August and the heat wave is driving me insane. I'm having flashbacks of the days when I had no complaints. Don't you remember when I got naked for you? I put up a shelf for you. Thank you.
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Golva, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at minnkota.com. I have to share a little bit about our next guest and how his appearance came to be on the show today. Quite simply, he wrote in, that's what he did, and he'd asked if we'd consider him for the program at some point in 2025. Attached were some of his compositions and just was intrigued, so I pressed play and I listened to them as I continued to read his note. I learned he was from York, England, which I've been to a few times, love it there, that he's 16 years old and somewhat new at promoting himself, which one might think is very hard to do, promote oneself, especially in music or in the arts. However, in order to make it in the music industry, one must believe in oneself. That is vital. If one has that going, then it's just a matter of time when things will really start falling in place. Needless to say, Ned Swarbrick's note, that's the kid's name, not only gave me the impression that here's a young songwriter who does believe in himself, but also his music was very impressive. I have no doubt his career will work out for him. He concluded his note with this: I'd love if you gave it a listen and maybe even consider playing one of my songs on the Great American Folk Show. I'm just starting out, and so I'm working hard to get my music out there. Well, thanks for the note, Ned. We love spotlighting new talent on the show. So, world, meet Ned Swarbrick. And Ned Swarbrick, meet the world. His tunes today are Procrastination, Emperor's New Clothes, and one entitled Skulmer.
For the next big thing without your eyes, your nose, and someone's ears. You're the one who ties the noose. You're the martyr in the morning, turning on the Sunday news. Thank you. the tables hold the buck and scare the bite. She's arranging her affairs. Now it's on to find the only other state of mind is there. She goes like December did, trapped in the emperor's clothes. She smiles and remembers it, but he says he won't let you. There's nothing we can do for you. She's arranging her affairs. Now it's on to find the only other state of mind is there. She goes like December did, trapped in the emperor's clothes. She smiles and remembers it. You do, you fumigate the room with the fresh cigarettes that you smoke and assume is fueling the thing. He tries not to feel, he knows it's not real, because he's come close to the truth. Late afternoons, drinking whiskey and water for years in his youth, and you've tried your hardest, but not hard enough, and you're looking for something that she only craves, craving the rest in a shore. She sleeps on the beach, her back to the shore, and sure of herself and making it known. She's the king of the castle that she only knows no one can find.
I got to know our next guest, Shelby Earle, through a few mutual friends and studio engineers and record company folks in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle mainly, a number of years ago. And what can I say? We really hit it off. We toured together up and down the Pacific Coast, and what fond memories I have of those times. You know, the road is a really unusual place to get to know a fellow musician. Actually, I would call it enchanting. Every day is a blank page. And despite the fact that you might have a few hundred miles to drive to get to the next gig, like maybe San Francisco to Redwood, if you time it right, you will have several hours at your leisure to do whatever you want with it, like find a river to take a swim, or stop off at some ancient site, or take the advice of an audience member who the night before told you to go to Locke, California, where there's a little restaurant there that serves a steak sandwich. Indeed, the bonds fellow musicians make on the road are lasting. Both share in on the victories, and both share in on the defeats, such as sold-out shows and record-breaking merch sales and a night's endless praise from adoring fans. Or on the opposite side, maybe a venue owner chooses not to honor your contract and pays you less than expected, or worse, your van gets broken into and your gear is lifted. Whatever the situation may be, they are in it together. And as a result, they become like brethren, always watching out for each other, always getting each other's backs, lending a helping hand, and in general, just taking care of each other. Shelby is a musical guest on the show today and also one of my closest pals. And she's one of the most talented, too. Over the course of her career in music, she's garnered a portfolio of some of the most critically positive reviews of any working musician that I know, and every one of her musical peers and contemporaries continue to cheer her on, including her bandmates. One of them, in fact, is responsible for encouraging her to pick up the pieces from a recent tragedy and go back into the studio and record and continue writing. And this is the reason why she's on the show today. She has new music. Benjamin Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie has called her voice Seattle's most heartbreakingly beautiful, and there's no disputing that. My own opinion is that a rare few can pierce a heart. Ben's, in my opinion, are compliments to Shelby Earle, but it also means that a voice that pierces and breaks hearts got that way because of some grief. I wouldn't wish grief upon anyone. We can be there for someone, and we are there for someone, but then what strength it shows us all when that someone endures. Is Shelby Earle on the Great American Folk Show.
Just over 2 years ago, I lost my husband very suddenly and tragically. And since then, I've been in a kind of hibernation state, just quiet and still and very unsure of how to move forward. Not long after his passing, my sweet bandmate, Billy Brush, started gently reaching out, and he'd text me and say, "Okay, when or if you want to make music again, I'll come to you. We can just sing in the living room. It will be casual." And at first, I couldn't imagine it. Music felt impossible. But eventually, I started to say yes. And Billy would come over and play piano, and I would sing. And it was extremely painful at first. Many of my songs are about my husband. And so singing them just brought it all to the surface, and I would cry through our early rehearsals. But then something surprising started to happen, which I did not foresee, and that was that singing made me start to breathe deeply again. And in retrospect, I see that that was absolutely the beginning of my healing. You know, our breath is our life force. And when you breathe deeply, you literally send that life force back into your body. So singing became this way of reconnecting to myself and to my life force. And I was reminded that I was still here and life still wanted to be lived. And so now I'm saying to people all the time, even if you don't think you're a singer, sing. Because grief and trauma, which we all encounter, makes us hold our breath and we stop sending air to the places that hurt. but that's how we get stuck and stay stuck and sometimes get sick. And I really think that breathing, especially through music, helps reopen those spaces. It's this powerful act of restoration for our bodies and our hearts and our minds. And writing is also helping me heal. I mean, grief takes a lot of time, which if you know, you know. And it takes time to find the words. But when you do, those words can become something really beautiful, even something that helps others feel less alone in their heartache. And so today I wanted to share two songs. The first one is new and still unrecorded, and it is heavy. I will go ahead and say that. But it's also a sweet reminder that grief is a shared experience and we don't go through it alone. And the second song is a simple 3-chord song I wrote during another hard chapter in life. But this one is about how light and air always find their way back in after periods of darkness. And healing is always just around the corner, honestly. So I hope these songs bring you even a little peace or maybe some release today. And I want to say thank you to Tom Brusseau and the Great American Folk Show for having me. Here is my new tune called Where Did You Go? And a deeper cut of mine called Forget You Ever Wondered, featuring the wonderful Billy Brush on piano.
broken chains, broken veins. You cease to be outstretched hand as far as I can. Can't you reach me? Where did you go from here? And what of you remains? Where did you go from here? And who holds the pain? Is it me, dear? Empty dreams, empty things, they cease to keep the singing stops. It goes on and off. Are you talking to me? Where did you go from here? And what of you remains? Where did you go from here? And who holds the pain? Is it me?
Years, I must admit, seems like kind of a funny milestone. I mean, 5 years in the life of a child, let's say, well, that amount of time flies by so fast. I don't need to tell you that if you're a parent like me. But for a radio show, well, Great American Folk Show was born at a time when it felt like it would never end. I mean, the pandemic gave birth to Zoom and all kinds of cool and handy gadgets and technologies where you could just record anything right from home and boom, send it right over the internet. A live studio wasn't required. So we on the Great American Folk Show, we put that to good use. And we had some, I don't know, man, real memorable musicians and artists and poets and craftspeople and proprietors of North Dakota's finest diners and cafes, storytellers, movie makers, a famous Hollywood actor, grace our air in digital streams. We've also introduced to you so many talented musicians just trying to make a go of it and succeeding at their art. Getting inside the brains of creatives has been one of the great pleasures of my life. So here's hoping to another 5 more years, another 10 more years, or 20 more years, or how about even beyond that? Thanks for making it possible by the simple gesture of listening and giving your attention, and I hope your appreciation. We appreciate you so much. And that's our show for today. We'd like to thank you for listening, and we'd like to thank our guests, Shelby Earl, Owen Glacken, Josie Tompkins, and Ellie McPhee. Ned Swarbrick was on the program as well. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California. End theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Mary Jones is the talent producer. Elizabeth Brousseau helps out with the digital realm. Eric Dethridge is the producer and editor, and Anne Alquist is the director. Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Golva, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative. I'm Tom Brousseau. May you always find that lucky old sun until we meet again.